And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
They couldn't find a vein. And once they had one...
Your body's supposed to be full of them, man.
I know, right?
This week on Dueling Review, we review Super Sons number 1, written by Peter J. Tomasi, with art by Jorge Jimenez. The Sons of Batman and Superman have graduated to their own monthly comic, but if they want to survive, they're going to have to share it. This debut issue looks at the lives of Robin and Superboy and their destiny to follow in their father's footsteps, while we meet a new villain whose ascension parallels the boys' own understanding of their powers. Except he believes it's his right to rule over every being on the planet. Do you remember when the Super Sons first debuted as a team in 1973?
Yeah. Yeah, in World's Finest Comics.
World's Finest Comics 215. Of course, imaginary Batman Jr. first appeared in, 1960?
Well, yeah. See, the problem is there's several Batman Juniors. There's also Batman 2, who was Robin grown up, I think?
Right.
But yeah, the original, well, the ones who were first called the Super Sons were a Bob Haney joint. And I love Bob Haney because Bob Haney has no caring about continuity.
And Dick Dillon, too. Don't forget Dick Dillon.
Well, that's true. Dillon, you know, one of the longest running JLA artists. Nobody gives him any credit. But yeah, Haney stories are just cool stories. And he doesn't give a rat's patootie if they make sense in some larger continuity.
Well, they were never, as revealed by Denny O'Neill. They were just a computer simulation in the end.
That's a retcon.
As a computer
years later,
as a computer tries to figure out how to use slang like daddy-o and hey, you old people
hipster
are not cool.
Bats and soups. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to remember that was 50 issues later. That was several years later when they started doing the stories. It was like, okay, it's 1973. Superman and Batman have sons. Their mothers never appear. We assume it's Lois and Kathy Kane, but we don't know. And they never show us. They make a big deal of not showing us. But yeah, those are really kind of cool stories.
They only appeared in, 11 issues?
From something like that.
From 73 to 99 or something like that?
Well,
The final Secret of the Super Sons, I guess, came out in 1980.
Yeah, 73 to about 76 is where the actual super stories... Because they stopped appearing in 240-something.
242.
I have a complete run of the world's funniest.
I'm sure you do.
I do. I love the Super Sons.
What makes the Super Sons of the 70s interesting?
I think it's the wholehearted way they throw themselves into... These are teenagers with a counterculture thought process, and it's clearly focused through 45-year-old writers' brains. And it's kind of like the Teen Titans of that same period, Daddy-O. Yo, Flasher, let's go have us a groovy time at the discotheque.
As we eat these brownies,
Robin.
Man.
Right. But yeah, they're really interesting in sort of a... They didn't necessarily worry about explaining the big continuity issue there. They just said, okay, here's a story.
Right.
And I'm trying to remember if those first ones were even marked as imaginary. Because Silver Age stories with the imaginary story moniker had been around for probably 10 or 15 years before they came out. But
I don't see anything saying an imaginary story on the cover of their first appearance. So...
What is that? World's Finest 216? 215?
215.
215? I may have.
Yeah.
Let me check.
We're going to run our own lives, and you can't stop us, super dads.
Yeah!
So I'm curious then, how does this reboot, essentially, of real Super Sons that was released this week from DC Comics, how does that stack up for you?
It's weird because in an interesting sort of parallel, it is equally kind of, I think, going to be dated soon enough. Super Sons from 2017.
Right.
Of course, features Damian Wayne, the son of and Talia al Ghul. Been around since Son of the Demon in 1995. And Jonathan Kent, the son of pre-Flashpoint Superman and Lois. And I don't know, man. I thought it was
interesting. The problem is, here you have two characters that are total polar opposites. I mean, you have Jonathan Kent, who's like, golly gee whiz, mom and dad, I sure want to be a good person, even though I have tendencies that maybe may make me want to do bad things. But I sure as heck do want to do good, by golly gosh, John darn gee whiz. And then you have Damien that's like, universe, I'm in charge. Yeah.
Damien is like, I learned to drive when I was 5.
I did open heart
surgery when I was 9.
I'm not a Damian Wayne fan. I never have been. Mm. The closest that DC ever got to me liking him was when they killed him.
Right.
And that's only because I had sympathy because, oh, you killed a kid. Well, I kind of feel sad about that. But I don't know. Damian Wayne isn't. I like how they play off of one another, but I hate and despise everything about Damian Wayne.
My biggest issue with both of these characters is that there seems to be an editorial rule that they are somehow more relevant or more meaningful or more real Superboy and real Robin because they are the actual children of the heroes, as opposed to, you know, Connor Kent, who was Superboy for a long time, or Tim Drake, who has now been retconned as never having been Robin in the new 52. I mean, it feels like there's some disrespect for these secondary characters. But aside from that, I kind of like the idea of Jonathan Kent.
I like him as a kid.
Yeah. I'm a little bothered by how young Damian looks here.
He's older. But they make a good joke about that. There are some good back and forths where Damian's like, but I'm older. And Jonathan's like, but I'm taller. Shut up. You know, it's a kid. The kid just can't deal.
I thought Damian was like 16.
No.
The last thing I saw him in was Teen Titans, and he seemed like he was 15, 16.
No. He's like 12. No, he's super young. And that's why everyone in the Teen Titans are like, you're not even a teenager yet. And he's like, that's why I'm perfect for this job as your leader. And it's like, ugh, give me a break. Give me a break. So I'm not, so as I go into this book, I'm biased from the start that I'm not a fan of Damian Wayne, but I do appreciate the relationship that these two have with one another as having to deal with the pressures of being the sons of two of the greatest superheroes in the DC universe. Or I should just say two heroes of the DC universe, because I'm sure that there are some that are stronger than Superman and certainly smarter than Batman. So I can appreciate the story from that aspect of it. But my biggest problem with this issue is nothing happens.
Yeah, and that is problematic for me because it opens with two pages that I think are going to be something related to our new villain. And then it gives us a quick, oh, Superboy and Robin are in action. And then we cut back to show how we got to this point. But as with so many of these stories, it doesn't feel motivated. It actually feels like it's more confusing than if they just started Hamilton County, Damian, you know, Damian's driving the bus in disguise. I don't feel like those two vignettes at the beginning before we actually see John and Damian go and, you know, meet each other and do their thing, they don't really add anything to the story other than, you know, a big question mark and a way to open with a big action sequence.
So is Lex Luthor bad? I haven't been reading the Superman thing. What's the deal with him with the Superman armor?
Well, Lex Luthor is still Lex Luthor, but the city of Metropolis is, it's difficult. You know how Superman died, right?
What? Superman died because his heat vision turned into a supernova and he killed himself?
New 52 Superman died, and to honor him, Lex Luthor has taken up the S-Shield and been protecting the city as a new Superman. But also there's the old new Superman, and right. there's also Superwoman and Steel and another Steel, but that's neither here nor there. But
so
Lex
is old,
still
is,
Lex.
Is new old Superman, is that the one from pre-52? The one
yes,
that married Lois?
That is,
and
that's okay. John's dad.
Okay.
So John's dad is Superman again,
that
but Lex is playing Superman in Metropolis while also under the insidious influence of a mother box.
Ah, okay. So he's evil.
He's evil, but the people of Metropolis
but the people
are
of Metropolis,
grudgingly accepting him as a hero.
People of Metropolis, well, in fact, everyone in the DC universe are gullible enough to believe that Lex Luthor's promises are going to be carried out in the first 100 days. And then it turns out that he's this evil, wicked person. And yet they keep falling for it again and again and again. So
well,
that's why I'm confused. So when he shows up at the end of this issue, because
yes.
the boys are climbing up the side of LexCorp Tower, he shows up, goes, "May I help you, boys? You're out a little late, aren't you?" I'm wondering if that means issue two is a big fight, or if he's like, "Come inside for some hot cocoa and let us discuss your concerns."
It's going to probably be somewhere in between. What I suspect is Lex saying a few highly coded threats to send them home to their dads.
Sure would be awful if someone put some kryptonite in your cocoa, Jonathan.
Right? It's a nice dad you got there.
But also, does Lex Luthor know that Clark Kent is Superman?
No.
Okay, so the identity of Superman is still, so he doesn't know who Superboy really is.
Well, since he came back from Apocalypse, Lex Luthor's brain has been wacky, and I have not been reading every issue, so actually he may. I don't know. But he didn't the last time I checked, even though at one point he had, because he was, I believe, implanted with the emblem of the dark side to where he's technically a herald of dark side, something, not Galactus. I don't know.
So he's got the anti-life equation in him? Man, they've made Lex Luthor so confusing.
Yes, remember when he has just no life.
Remember when he was just a fat man in a jumpsuit that kept breaking out of jail?
No, and neither do you.
I do.
When we were kids, he was a man in a green and purple battle suit that kept breaking out of jail.
I like Lex Luthor when he was a fat, bald guy in jail going, "I'll have my revenge on you one day, Superman." And then he breaks out and
he
gets caught.
See, I liked
him
when he had his big hippie beard and was pretending to be his own grandpa.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty creepy as well. So I don't know. From a first issue, from a story point perspective, I can see what they're doing, and I can see that they're creating a team up, and I can see that there's a lot of fun in it. And
right.
I appreciate that there's a lot of fun. I have a lot of questions, but that's only because I haven't been reading a lot of DC since the New 52 started. But since Rebirth, I'm starting to get back into everything. So I can understand the story, and I can see why so many people really like Super Sons. And there
right.
is something about it to like, but Damian Wayne, no thanks.
I'm less, hateful of Damian Wayne. I kind of like the idea of a kid who thinks that he's a killer ninja assassin and is a lot of the time, but still sometimes gets his little comeuppance. I feel like that's the way a Batman story should go. There should be a moment once in a while where Batman says, "I have this under control." And it turns out he totally doesn't. So I dig that.
Right.
I'm not 100% sold on Jimenez's art.
Oh, I kind of like the art. I really kind of enjoyed it. I was like, "Oh, this is neat." And I thought
these
it was detailed where it needed to be.
Enormous heads.
Yeah, I know, but they're kids.
They're Charlie Brown heads.
Have you seen little kids? They have big heads.
There's a little kid in my... there used to be a little kid in my house.
Yeah, and they have big heads.
Now she's
small
giant.
Bodies.
Okay, not everybody's kids look like your kids, Stephen.
Well, I know. Not everyone has cute children. I understand that.
I understand. Yeah, shut up. But yeah, I don't necessarily dislike it, but it's not something that jumps out at me. And especially Damian's haircut, Damian's specific slicked back bat hair.
Yeah.
Just feels really over exaggerated to me. I can see parallels to who's the guy you love that draws Impulse?
Humberto Ramos.
Yeah, Humberto Ramos parallels in here.
Yeah, there are
I
some
I do like his Superman. Clark makes a brief appearance in here, being super dad and kissing his super wife and telling his super son to go to bed. I really like all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, family night is fun. Super homework is fun. But I mean, Damian, I mean, come on, Batman, spank your child, get him in line.
No, don't do that. Doesn't care about his children. Batman, no, you know, true. What? If Batman has a child fall down, he's got like five more.
Yeah. No, it's just that kid needs some discipline. And, and I think
Dick,
that's what,
I mean, Tim, I mean, Jason, just go to your room, whatever your name is.
Yeah. I just wish they'd do something different with Damian to make him likable, but maybe that's not his goal. Maybe he is supposed to be the tyrant brat that nobody likes.
He's supposed to be unlikable, but you're supposed to enjoy him in spite of yourself. And in a lot of ways, he's kind of an exaggeration of everything that's wrong with modern Batman.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I did enjoy it. I say go check it out. This is not a rush out and buy, but certainly pick it up.
Rush right out in a buying frenzy.
Borrow it from somebody. It's interesting, but or you know what? Maybe wait a month and get it on digital when the price drops. If they're still doing that kind of thing.
Well, I'm sure they are.
Yeah. What's the bottom line for you?
It's okay. I would recommend this for people who are, you know, heavily into one of the two characters or feel like the Teen Titans is dealing with characters who are a little older than you like. I expect there's going to be a lot of, you know, mistake making and preteen headbutting, and I'm sort of fine with that.
All right, cool. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Aliens versus Predator, Life and Death number 3. Serenity
Predion versus Aliater, I believe. That's
Serenity, No Power in the Verse, number 5 of 6. DC Comics has Action Comics 974, Batgirl number 8, Blue Beetle number 6, Clean Room number 16. That's a mature reader's title, so beware if you go into that one. Detective Comics 951 hits stands, as does Future Quest number 10 and Suicide Squad number 12. Over at IDW Publishing, we have Alex Toth, or is it Toth? Bravo for Adventure Artist Edition hardcover. So that'll be interesting. Man. That's one of those Please Inquire ones, which I think are between $100 and $150. So you might want to check with your
retailer. Yeah, but retailer. For Toth, man.
Yeah, some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Angry Birds Flight School number 1. Darkness Visible number 1. Angry Birds Flight School number 1. Dirk Gently's Salmon of a Doubt number 5.
Salmon, I believe that's pronounced.
That's Salmon. October Faction Deadly Season number 5, Optimus Prime number 4, Star Trek Green Lanterns number 3, and TMNT Universe number 7.
TMNT Universe.
Image Comics has Autumn Lands as a trade paperback that comes out. That'll be nice to grab. Beauty number 12, Black Road number 7, Loose Ends number 2, She-Wolf number 6, and Surgeon X number 6. Those are some of the titles. There's a lot of titles coming out next week from Image Comics. Marvel Comics has all new X-Men trade paperback volume 3, Inevitable Hell Hath So Much Fury.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, that's what it says. Amazing Spider-Man number 24, CC. I thought Clone Conspiracy was over this week. I thought everybody died.
The last issue of the Clone Conspiracy title came out this week.
Ah,
but
now we have to deal with all the fallout.
I believe, right, there may be some falling out or in or falling beside, who knows.
Black Panther number 11. Deadpool Back in Black, trade paperback.
He'll hit the sack. He got a son in his friend, the biz right. I don't know the lyrics to Back
Ghost
in Black.
Rider number 4.
In the Sky?
The Infamous Iron Man number 5.
No. He's so famous. He's beyond famous. He's infamous.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's infamous.
Yeah.
Ivex number 5 of 6 arrives.
That's my favorite African gazelle, the Ivex.
Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number 16. Scarlet Witch number 15. True Believers, all new Wolverine number 1. Wolverine Old Man Logan number 1. And Wolverine X-Men number 1. All arrive with a $1 price tag. Now's a good time to pick up some Wolverine stuff.
Wolverine.
In all the rest category, we have Ancient Dreams number 5. Assassin's Creed Locus number 2. Care Bears Puzzling Path graphic novel. There's something that'll keep you occupied for a while, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm sure. That sounds entirely right up my alley.
It does. And if you're not, they'll give you the Care Bear stare and make you smile.
I am not afraid of their Care Bear stare.
Hookjaw number 3. That's the big shark thing.
Yarr.
John Carter, The End, number... Oh, that's just a rerun of that. Never mind.
This is the end.
It's not a very good issue.
My
Jughead,
Martian
number 13.
Friend.
Kiss Demon, number 2. I don't think that's Kiss versus the Demon. What was the name
of
that?
No, it is
what was
the Kiss the Demon. Kiss versus the Phantom of the Park.
Oh, that's
what
it was.
Thinking.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Pathfinder Worldscape, number 5. Pink Panther Snow Day Classic. There you go. Rough Riders on the Storm, number 1. Rough Riders on the Storm. Bully, bully, bully.
Now I'm imagining Teddy Roosevelt wearing Jim Morrison leather pants and an open shirt. It's horrifying. How can you do this to me?
Street Fighter versus Darkstalkers, number 0. Tank Girl Gold, number 4. And Vamp Blade 98 One-Shot. Vamp Blade. Those are just some of the titles coming out next week. You can find a complete list over at Major Spoilers, and be on the lookout for the Major Spoilers staff picks of the week, where we tell you what books we're interested in and which ones you should check out. Next week on Dueling Review,
Grim Fairy Tales, Van Helsing versus the Mummy of Amun-Ra, number 2, written by Joe Brusha, art by Mark Rossetti. When an old foe rises in modern times, Liesel von Helsing. You remember Liesel?
I do.
Yeah, goodbye, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, shut up, that thing. Must look to her past to see how she can fight this deadly adversary. The Mummy of Amun-Ra has returned, and even those who brought her out of her centuries-long slumber will not be able to contain her power.
Are you my mummy?
You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, pay for our growing costs, and gives us the motivation to produce more content for you each and every week. So if you think this show is worth a buck an episode, head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Thanks so much for checking out Dueling Review, and we will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say,
Kurt Swan is a god.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.